Hello and welcome back to the Jesus Juke podcast for the day of Wednesday, April 23rd, 2025. I am one of your four hosts, Christian Mart, the student pastor of Aurora Baptist Temple. With me is the JV squad, the understudies of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If they were unable to perform their duties, these three would step in with me as always. Not as always, but with me as usual. We got Jeff Bain Jr., we got Blake Hillhouse, and we've got Devin Crass, fellas. Last week we learned we shouldn't record late at night, and yet here we are again.
What time is it?
It's later than it was last time we recorded.
That's my bedtime.
It's like 9:30 right now. Almost 9:30.
My bedtime says at 8.
Yeah? Mm.
I don't go to bed till 1. I got so much work. I'm good. This is the night is young.
We put our kids to bed at like 7 typically.
Mm-hmm. They sleep for like 12 hours, don't they?
They sleep for 12 hours.
Yeah, you know, mine sleeps 8.
We go to bed. We before Christine started this new job, we'd go to bed at like midnight, and it was always so weird to think like, okay, the kids have gone to bed. Now we have 5 hours. Of not like talking.
That is
or
weird.
Like of not like having to entertain kids.
But I bet you enjoyed them 5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, mine is like, I gotta go to bed now because I'm gonna be up. My wife's gonna be up.
At least you corrected yourself. Yeah. You know,
I wake up if I hear it. And I typically do with the monitor and stuff, but she averages like in between 7:30 and 8 hours of sleep. That's it. And I think that's her problem.
Jeff, what's your bedtime?
My bedtime, about 10 o'clock. Usually when I go to bed.
What time do you have to get up? You have to get up really early.
I'm usually up about 4:45.
A.M.?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm usually leaving the house by 5:15.
Wait, you get up at 4:15?
Yes.
I'm up between 5 and 5:30.
Now, I'm awake at probably about 4:30. I'm just laying in bed on my phone.
I'm awake at like 4. Guys, I got
as
like,
if talking about
bedtime. Oh, no! Oh, no!
For the audio listeners, Devin just pulled out a piece of memorabilia from 2003. What is
that's
that
around, buddy?
Bubbled tape gum.
Yeah, I get tired. Yeah, I gotta lock in, and if I don't do this, I will not chew with my mouth open.
Have you ever seen the pictures of like the people who just bite into the whole roll?
That was me as a kid. Why would I not do that?
I haven't seen this since.
It's the softest gum you'll ever chew. Go ahead.
The whole thing?
I don't care. I'll just take Lexi's.
Yeah, but it doesn't last very long.
Wow.
But it's super soft.
Christian is not going to be able to talk the rest of the podcast.
Dude, his lips are like two plungers. He's fine. I'm a cheek. How it burns.
And all the flavor is gone.
Flavor.
Flavor.
Ow.
No, what's wrong with your cheeks?
They burn.
You're having an allergic
making
reaction.
Me laugh. No.
Jonathan is right. You do have chipmunk cheeks when you laugh.
Aren't you allergic to something
mm-hmm.
super common? Like tahine?
No.
What the heck is tahine?
Red red pepper flakes.
Oh, really?
I look like a dang Botoxer.
Bang Botoxer.
There's no bruising. It's natural.
You three need to pick up.
And the episode's chalked.
And cut.
Redo.
Dude, I'm back. Sweating.
I'm crying right now too.
It's so hot.
Hey, ABT, pay your tithe. We haven't had AC in 3 weeks.
I guess that includes me. I haven't paid this last week.
Oh, jeez, dude. I'm dying. Freaking old.
Yeah, you know the movie The Sandlot?
Soft, isn't it?
Very soft.
Stop talking about the gum, dude, for 1 second.
And the kids in The Sandlot have mm-hmm. that chewing tobacco.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they start swallowing all the...
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. That's how I feel right now with the big old wad.
On the spinning thing.
Oh, man.
There's a trash can over there if you need it.
Oh, my goodness.
I have no idea what he said. I'll have to give it a second.
Here. Game on the fly. I'm going to have this gum in my mouth, obviously.
You better not pass that around.
I'm going to spit it in the air and see who catches it.
No.
I'm going to have this gum in my mouth. I'm going to name the character in the Bible.
Mm.
And you got to try to guess who it is.
Okay.
Jesus.
Shadrach.
Did I get it?
Bendigo? I was going to say Shadrach first.
That's the point. I read your mind.
No.
I'll try to guess some, or I'll try to like give some. I hope this isn't coming through on the mics.
I don't think it's going to. You just chew with your mouth closed.
I think it's coming through, my man.
A little bit of editing.
It's an ASMR podcast now. I'm going to try to go for like some not well-known ones. Maybe a couple well-known ones. All right. Round one.
Wait, time out. Mm-hmm. I haven't made it past Exodus in my Bible reading.
I'm stuck in Genesis.
I've never read past Exodus in my life. Am I cooked? Methuselah.
Say it one more time.
Abimelech.
Nailed it.
$80,000.
At first, I thought you were saying Hezbollah.
I don't know what that means.
He's like the little...
What Bible is he? Or what chapter in the Bible is he?
He's in the Book of Mormon, I think.
Here's one.
Zechariah.
New Testament.
I haven't made it there yet.
What do you mean?
Book of Acts.
Oh,
Paul.
2 years. 2 years in my head right now. I'm going through it.
Ananias.
I thought he had said Goliath. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Goliath's in the New Testament?
Like, dude, you are $80. And you figure out Goliath.
It took a while to kill off that character.
Last round.
Make it one that us non-Bible college boys know.
Jesus.
Saul.
Saruman.
Shut up. Let him talk.
He's going to swallow it.
It's not like he's about to die. One more time.
Sheol.
Golly, that's terrible.
Shmuel.
Yes, you nailed that.
Pharaoh. No, I can't really just come.
You're the only one struggling.
I'll be right back. Good.
Right. Yeah, I got you.
You better not.
I got you. I got you. Come on. Yeah, I'm not touching that. It looks like a brain. It literally looks like a brain, dude.
You should do bloopers.
that's coming in.
That's the trash can. What are you doing? Don't just leave it there. Just leave the trash can between my legs.
All in all, this episode's a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
I'm glad I brought that gum out.
So really, all we need to do is just be exhausted from our personal lives.
Yes.
I mean, Jeff doesn't do squat. But.
And we're back. My jaw hurts. I feel like a snake, like trying to eat like a basketball.
Basketball.
Did you click on pause on that?
I didn't click pause. I just like made a mark.
Like with a Sharpie?
Guess I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
That wore me out.
I'm so tired.
That's why I brought the gum out. I don't want to fall asleep.
You know they make caffeine gum?
Yeah, and they make caffeine pouches.
Yep.
Oh. They make caffeine. They make caffeinated water.
Do you think caffeine is just as dangerous and addictive as nicotine?
No.
I don't think so.
I can go for days without caffeine.
You know what I think is more addictive than the both of them?
Sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like me some Dr. Pepper.
I got Diet Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, fake sugar.
I quit soda like
what,
that.
What is it's the fake sugar? It's aspartame or something like that?
Yeah, that's one of them.
Mm. Cancer.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it is. Isn't it a carcinogen?
Diabetes.
The thing is.
Shout out to my boy Aaron.
That's crazy.
The thing is, people like live so long nowadays, and we've taken care of so many other like health concerns that like now people are just like dying of cancer.
Yeah, and for some reason,
because like, you know, men aren't like keeling over at the age of 40 because of like.
Dysentery.
That too.
Mono.
Yeah.
But, Blake, guess what we want to tell us?
No.
We better cut that out.
I don't understand.
Can I tell you something embarrassing? No. It's not embarrassing to me. It's embarrassing for this person.
Is it me?
No. It was like 12 years ago. I know somebody. It's like
12. Yeah, same.
What?
I said I was like 12. 12 years ago.
No, you weren't.
Yeah.
I did the math in my head, give or take a couple years.
Give or take a couple years.
But I know somebody at high school camp who got mono that week.
Like at camp?
At camp. Got mono at camp. And
I heard it takes a while to kick in.
And that was a really awkward like conversation they had to have with their parents. Like, oh, you got mono this week? At church camp?
I mean, it was either dudes or...
Wow. I mean, wow. We are letting everything fly tonight. All right, then.
You guys don't kiss your friends?
Greet the brothers with the holy kiss.
Yeah.
John 3:16.
I used to... Me and my friends when I was in high school.
My friends and I.
You're not a grammar.
Wow. Nerd. You
can barely spell grammar.
Impressive. I apologize. He's right.
I'm sorry. That was so mean to me.
Yeah. What? Why can't... Oh.
That was so genuine.
I'm going to pitch a fit now. You just wait. Fit is going to be pitched.
All right. On.
Speaking of camp.
Yeah.
I got a couple of... That one was embarrassing for someone else.
That is funny, though. Really.
Yeah.
That is, yeah. That's
hilarious.
Imagine having...
He had to go home, right? Like, you can't stay at camp for mono with mono.
Well, I mean, like, he went to the doctor when he got home.
You know, that reminds me. Like, I hate it when you're, like, in a public place, like, around other people, and a secret that you were going to take to your grave gets exposed to everybody. And then you have to ride with your parents. And explain to them the secret. Christian Martin, do you want to shed a little light on this?
No, I prefer to maintain both of our dignities.
Awesome. Hey, we kept it a secret for a very long time.
Yeah, if anything, you should be proud of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you told me it wasn't even a bad car ride.
I didn't think it was, yeah.
No, it really wasn't. I just told them, I was like, yeah.
But, I think I was in eighth grade. And we're at a middle school camp. We split middle school and high school. And my buddy and I, we were walking. And it was on this lake. And there was a dock you'd have to walk through to get from our cabins to, like, the mess hall. And he had, like, a $5 bill. He was like, what should we do with this? And we were like, we were going to go to the snack shop and get, like, a soda.
Back then, you could get a lot for $5.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, tank of gas.
And so...
Close to it, maybe 50 cents.
You guys weren't driving whenever COVID brought gas.
Well,
a gallon.
Technically, I was. The first time
I
filled up.
Oh, were you?
The first time I filled up, I was on E and I filled up for $20. The second time, it was almost in the 40s.
Yeah, I pay like $45.
I pay about $45.
Like my dad got to experience gas at like 35 cents a gallon.
I wish.
Dang.
Yeah. We were walking on the dock with this $5 bill, and on the dock they sold these like ice blocks.
Ice blocks.
Like, just like a.
Yeah, but why?
1 foot by like 6-inch ice blocks, or maybe like a 2 foot by 1 foot.
Just to eat it.
Just for like, you throw it in a cooler.
Oh, I see what you're meaning.
All right. Like
dry ice, but not dry ice.
Right, just a rectangular block of ice.
Yeah.
And we're like, let's buy a block of ice. $5, so we bought a block of ice, and it's like 90 degrees out, so it starts melting immediately. And we're like, well, now what are we going to do with this? We go to our other church, like our church's like other boys' dorm. Like it wasn't like we had two bunks with like 20 kids. And there's this kid that had been visiting the church for a while, and he was like new, it was his first camp, and he wasn't there, but like other people that we didn't know were in there. And we're like, hey, we got this block of ice. What should we do with it? And my buddy and I, in our like infinite eighth grade wisdom, thought, let's take his pillow out of his pillowcase.
Wow.
And put the block of ice in it. And we took it out of the plastic bag and put the block of ice in his pillowcase.
Mm.
And it melted.
As ice
Believe
does.
It or not.
Yeah, as ice does.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have never get
it. And it melted on his bed, on his sleeping bag, on his blanket, dripped down into his suitcase.
Oh.
Wow.
New kid. Been coming to the church maybe 4 months. And our youth pastor was not happy with us. He pulled us to the side and he was like, this isn't what he said, but it's pretty much like, what are we doing here, you idiots?
You're just like a why?
Like a why? Yeah, like moment. Why? What? Like, it's not even a funny
like what
prank.
You do. Why? Why yeah. did you do that?
Like, first of all, as a prank, objectively not funny. Like, do something creative with a block of ice, if anything.
Could have done anything with it.
And so, but no, it gets worse. He, our youth pastor goes, hey, you need to apologize to him. And I thought, yeah, you're right. I do need to apologize to him. And I walk up to him. And I had good intentions when I said this. I meant well. But I walk up to him, and I shook his hand. I was like, hey, I'm sorry that I put that block of ice in your pillowcase. And I pause, and I go...
Oh, no.
I pause, and I go, well, if anything, you should be thanking me, because it could have been a whole lot worse what we did to you.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, is that a good idea? I have a funny camp story. It's not as big of a story as yours was, but Blake will remember this. Jeff might, because I can't remember if you were, like, in our group yet or not.
Jeff.
No, I wasn't cool enough yet.
No, yeah.
Anyways, this was, I think, my first camp, maybe my second.
Like at ABT?
Mm-hmm. It was at Siloam. It was my first time at Siloam, not first time at camp, I should say. And there was a leader, so say, yeah. Okay? And the leader went and bought an air mattress.
Oh, I've heard this story.
I'm lost. I wasn't there for this, apparently.
Did you listen to the podcast?
No, I don't think so. Anyways.
Not that he does.
I don't know. It's funny either way. Anyways, so Blake and I are sharing a bunk. Okay, so Blake was above me because I made him go up there for some reason. Bad idea.
The boards were bowing. No fat jokes. Oh, yeah, my bad.
That was just too easy.
Blake, hey guys, we made it like 15 minutes until our first fat joke. We're doing better.
Yeah.
Wow. We are. Maybe one
anyway,
day we'll be sanctified.
So Blake is above me. I'm on the lower bunk, and we're in the corner where the counselor corner, we would call it.
Like the big bed?
So you would have, the youth pastor had his big bed.
Yeah.
Son was above him. So his bed's like this, our bed's like this, air mattress is right here.
Okay. And Blake, hold on, I'm trying to listen.
And it was a hot, bad day for everyone. And I could just remember seeing, like, Blake would just kind of, he would just lean over the side of his bunk and we would just talk. And I'm pretty sure this is how it went down. I looked at the leader's not in the room at this point. I think he's showering or something. I don't remember. Blake, let's deflate his air mattress. but we have to do it enough where he'll hit the floor, but he can't tell it's deflated. That's concrete floor. Okay, so I sneak up. Everyone's looking at me. Just here.
Didn't I lay on it to like deflate fast?
Blake gets on it, and I go to the end of the thing. I mean, it's like late at night, and you just hear. And this thing's just slowly deflating.
I'm just standing there like all sprawled out.
I'm looking around like, please don't come out of the shower. and then when Blake hit the floor, I plugged it. Blake got off, put the sheet on and everything. You could not tell.
Because it was so dark.
It was so dark. Late. You could not tell that this thing was deflated. I'm just taking a long shower. Lights were off. I almost forgot about it at this point. Blake's in his bunk. I'm on my bunk. And I'm facing it because I hear him. I'm like, oh, let's go, dude. Let's go. Little did I know that he was going to pretty much fly in the air and land on the air mattress. All I hear is, boom.
And he says, oh, you guys.
So funny.
And then I'm just like, I'm losing it because like I got like my wheezy laugh and I can't hide it. So I'm just sitting there going,
dude, this is so funny. Everyone wakes up freaking, oh you guys, like wind knocked out of
him. Oh my gosh,
it was so funny.
I think we should reenact that with Jeffrey.
I do not remember. No,
I mean, if you think about it, it's his fault for jumping on an air mattress like that.
But I mean, like, he's
after describing it, I probably know which one it was.
Yeah,
it was so funny, dude. Oh my gosh,
it was absolutely so loud.
The first mistake was not playing the counselor card and saying, I'm taking a bed. Yeah. that's what you do.
No, I think that's what he tried to do. And I was like, you can have top bunk if you want. He didn't want to go top bunk and Devin wouldn't move.
I was not moving.
We've all experienced, or at least maybe we have, a kid who's asleep on the top bunk. And they turn over and they fall off the top bunk.
That's so loud. And then you just hear in the middle of the night, oof.
You just hear like
and then you hear a oh.
You know, MJ's done that twice.
Has he really?
Yes.
Oh my god.
MJ. Shout out MJ.
I don't know why he always picks the top bunk.
I don't either.
Man,
I mean, he's got the seniority now. He could.
Yeah. Man.
Because before, probably, I think people just like got there forced first them. And yeah, forced yeah. them up there.
I was always in like the counselor group.
Did you guys
got a bunk?
Did you guys also make like and like hit each other with rat tails? In at camp,
like towels,
we did that a little bit.
It got to the point where it was just annoying and it hurt, and we were just like, we did it twice, maybe, but then it was just like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, we didn't do it anywhere near as much as we did last year.
Back in the day, it's like to quote the cinematic masterpiece Bluey, we're really just like raising a nation of squibs nowadays, soft, but because back in the day, it was. Like I have pictures of like my first camp and like the senior guys rat tailing each other and their legs straight up look like would it be heresy to say that they look like what's his name playing Passion of the Christ?
Jonathan Rumi.
Freddy Krueger.
Jack Black.
Who is it, man?
I don't know. I want to say.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. I just saw that movie.
But, man, like, shredded. Mm. Like, deep wounds it all hurts. Down the leg, it like, hurts. From the knee to the ankle.
The worst spot to get hit, though, is, like, the right in here.
Yeah.
If you get popped right there, dude, you just want to fight.
But, like, yeah, back in the day, it was, like, you whip each other until your legs are shredded.
You only wet the tip, the end of the towel. Yeah. And it's, like, a freaking,
it's like a razor.
It hurt.
We also... I don't know if this was just, like, our youth group, but we were, like, really big into wrestling.
Yeah.
And so, like, we would try to wrestle the youth pastor. And we thought we were, like, you know, we always thought we were so tough. And then we get, like, wrestle the youth pastor. He's, like, a 20-year-old grown man. And he just puts us in a headlock.
Yeah.
There's one time. Never mind. But,
It's late, but you caught that one. Good job.
Yeah.
Blake last year showed me the ground.
I remember that. Jeff was actually mad.
I wasn't even expecting it at all. You were running at me with the football, and then you just smacked into me, and then my back hits the bed frame.
It looked painful.
It hurt.
Down.
I
forgot about that.
It hurt.
I was laughing so hard. I still don't apologize for that. That was hilarious.
No, I'll like to. You alright, man? You alright, Jeff? Jeff just scorpioned over a bunk bed. Hey, man, you alright?
I just saw a large figure just running towards me.
Jeff wasn't even doing anything. He was pretty much just standing there.
I didn't even expect that he was just going to hit me.
Well, like, all week long I had been tame. Like, I wasn't really, like, playing around with the towel whips or anything like that.
Because Devin showed up and Blake
and then
fine.
And I think it was the night that
the
Devin showed up.
The last night.
Yeah, and I just got that football, and I was just on one.
Just charged at me.
I don't know what. Just charged at Jeff. I committed in my brain, like, I am going to run this dude over. And then I just remember hearing his back, like, crack as he's, like, sprawling.
Literally back. The back of his head touched the back of his feet over that bunk bed.
He was a perfect circle.
The only thing giving him support was the bed frame that he just ran into.
And Blake literally runs him over and keeps going. Turns around and just
spikes the ball.
Like this.
Oh, Jeff, you all right, man? Remember when your cousin put a bunch of Tabasco in your Dr. Pepper?
Oh, my gosh. Ooh. I kid you not. Like, if I leave a diet Dr. Pepper out or just any soda out in the shop wherever he's been at Hill House Services, I'm just like, no.
Like, just took a drink. Straight face.
I have something to confess.
And then just dead eyed straight to his cousin. There was like eight of us in there just.
I have something to confess. I was a part of that the first night.
Oh, I know you were. I know you were.
That's why you broke your back.
Because the counselors, we had gotten like, we had we got like some sodas and we got some snacks.
Yeah, we got a bunch of snacks together, yeah.
And that was my request, was Diet Dr. Pepper. And good man. I was so excited. And then it was like one of the first ones I cracked open too. I was so excited.
Gayton walks over and goes, "Hey, Jeff, should I do this?" I said, "Yeah."
It's a great idea.
I still have that taste like ingrained in my brain.
I bet it's disgusting.
It was absolutely. I was hungry. Now I'm not.
You guys ever like set down your soda, picked it up, took a swig of it only to realize that like one of your buddies had used it for like a spit cup?
No, but I did once leave a soda out. And I used to have a bad, I overdosed on melatonin once.
I don't think that's possible.
No, it's not. I don't know what happened, but I had a big, I struggled with sleeping. This is when I met Lexi. I couldn't sleep at night. I didn't know melatonin was a thing. And she was like, "Here, you have some melatonin." And she showed me it was like a container of gummies. So I'm like, "I'm going to go buy some of those." So I bought a big container. I'm like, "Yeah, dude, let's go." And to this day, I have this problem. I wake up in the middle of the night either thirsty or really hungry. If I'm hungry, I kind of just ignore it and just chug water. So I always chug water now, but... And I left it next to me on my bed.
He doesn't chug water. He eats. I know he does.
I wake up in the middle of the night, not thinking straight, you know? And I just reach over, open it, and I'm just eating it by the handfuls. It's melatonin gummies. This one was full. I wake up. It's freaking pretty much empty. There's like three in there. And there was a lot. It was a big container. I slept for a while.
I imagine.
I didn't die, but...
You just fell into a coma.
I mean, I was sleeping like... I would randomly just pretty much pass out.
I remember I ate a lot of Flintstone vitamins growing up. Like, we bought...
Hated those. They taste like chalk.
Oh, they were so good. They were so
good. The purple one was
I
the
hated
worst.
Them.
Oh, good.
Then, they were then, good. Then mom and dad ended up buying the gummy bears. That's oh, the those were stuff. The bomb.
Or like, yeah. Or the fruits. The little fruit gummies?
Yes.
Yeah, my mom made the mistake of like, because like in Burkina, like when you have a team over, a lot of times they'll bring stuff from the U.S. and they'll do it like big bulk stuff. So they'll go to Sam's, they'll get us bacon bits, pepperoni, things we don't get in Burkina. And they brought some vitamins because I guess mom was worried about like, because we were little kids, you know, there's not like, there's a lot of diseases going around in Burkina. So mom was like just worried. She had them bring over some like vitamins and then like we bought some in the stores there too. I just remember she left it in our room one time, and Aubrey and I looked at each other, giggled, looked at the vitamins, giggle. And we ate the whole thing like it was candy.
Oh,
damn. And then we woke up the next day puking our guts out. And
yeah, you're supposed to call
poison control.
Yep.
Do they have that in Burkina?
Probably not.
No, I doubt it.
No, I don't think any of them are dumb enough to eat a whole thing.
They don't have Flintstones there.
Bro, I'm telling you what, though. I didn't need... any more shots going overseas after that. To this day, the Flintstone vitamins are in my system. They're there forever to fight off anything.
Clearly.
Hmm.
How many times I've called you? Come to church. I'm sick. Throwing up, man. Puke all night. Went to his house once to wake him up for church. Ripped the sheets off of him. I should have learned because that's how we met. At College Days at MU. Yeah, I wake up the leader and they go off to take a shower. I didn't really know this guy yet.
This is our
first day hanging out. And I wake him up. He doesn't wake up. I shake him again. And then I go and put my stuff on, like my socks and stuff. He wakes up. He's like, "Oh, hey, I tried waking you up." "Oh, okay. Did you take my cover off?" No. I was like, "No, I didn't. Good. I'm naked." Straight face as possible. I've known this guy for like a day. Like, oh my gosh.
So what happened was, is like, you know how like... at Mission, they have, like, the boiler system. It's, like, really old. So, like, it's just constant heat until, like, halfway through the semester when it's been 100 degrees. And then they finally turn on the AC. Shout out my school. anyways, so it was, like, really hot. And I woke up. And, like, I'm just not alert when I wake up. And so I woke up. Like, dang, it's hot. So I took off my clothes underneath the covers and just slept like normal. Slept like I wouldn't at my own house. And then I woke up. I'm looking around. I'm like, oh, no. These are not my people.
Awkward. So awkward. I was going to say something else about that trip, but I can't remember.
I've got a melatonin story. Okay. It ties in melatonin and camp.
Dude, melatonin messes you up.
I think this is my What's that?
Never mind.
I think this... I use the big boy stuff now. I use Unisom. Because I'm a troubled adult boy who
Is it a gummy?
That's a pill.
Okay. Mm. I wouldn't eat that.
Probably.
But it was my... I think it was my last church camp. I was a graduating senior. And I was just... Me and the youth pastor at that point were buddies. And all of my friends had pretty much graduated the year before. So it was kind of just like him and I the whole week. The final night, you know, the final night's always like the night where like you go all out and all whatever, all that stuff. I was sitting there and like we were playing like blackjack at one table and eating snacks on another table. And I go, do you guys remember Dare? When you were in elementary school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dare to not do drugs.
Yeah.
Yep.
Say no to drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, you know, Dare really, really set my expectations high for how many random strangers would offer me a random drug in a Ziploc bag. I thought it would happen all the time, and that's never happened to me once.
Nope. Mm.
And I was like, to be honest, I'm feeling kind of left out. Like... I was hoping at some point this would happen to me, but I kid you not. 30 minutes later, one of the other guys in our cabin, he pulls out a Ziploc bag with a random unmarked pill in it. And he goes, "Hey, you guys want some melatonin?" I just got to trust that it's melatonin. And I go, "Yeah, why not? I'll take the melatonin." And I take some. And about 10 minutes later, I go, "I just had a random guy offer me loose drugs in a Ziploc bag for the first time. I feel proud of myself."
Proud is crazy.
And you said yes.
And I said yes. Now, yeah, all that Dare indoctrination didn't work on me. I said, I folded the first moment I got offered.
Like you folded with a smile on your face.
I was like little Timmy. I was like, "Yes, sir, may I please have some more?"
My goodness.
So in Dare, did they bring out a pair of goggles that you put on and it's supposed to be like...
Drunk goggles?
Yes.
Drunk goggles.
I got to use those. It almost made me sick.
Mm.
They asked me to walk in a straight line and I was walking this way.
Mm. I do that without the drunk goggles. I just can't walk in a straight line. It's bad.
Hold it in, Devin. Hold it in.
Refrain yourself.
Really pushing me on this one.
The face is crazy.
I was getting, bite my lip.
I was waiting for him to just stick his tongue out.
Yeah, I should have. Oh gosh, Blake, you just kill me, man.
So the other morning I woke up and my alarm is just going off. And the first thing that comes to my mind is my Xbox controller. I need to shut it off. I don't know why I thought that. So I turn over on my shelf, and I'm just messing with my Xbox controller going, "Shut off, alarm, shut off," and I'm beating on everything. And after 5 minutes of sitting there, I finally go, "Oh, it's my phone."
Break.
Shut it off.
$60 controller.
Shut up, shut up. Breaks it apart like Lego
pieces. Oh, I remember what I was saying. I remember what I was saying now before we got to the, like, being naked in a dorm room. One time at church.
Thank you for sharing that story with everyone, by the way.
Has Abby heard that story before?
No, she hasn't. She has, I think. I don't know.
She has now.
Yeah, she will now.
Abby, if you're listening to this, it was a pleasure to meet you the other day and to confirm that you are, in fact, a human.
Not a Tesla.
And not a Tesla Cybertruck.
Didn't she say something like, "I'm sorry to disappoint, I'm not a Tesla Cybertruck, I'm a real human being"?
We need to replace you with Abby.
Am I the only one? Am I the only one?
That's crazy.
Am I the only one that hasn't met her? Have you met her, Devin?
I met her.
Yeah, he's been.
I'm
grounded.
Lame.
Just go to Grounded.
Well,
yeah.
I don't like coffee. Do they have anything else there besides
100%, that? Just like every other coffee shop.
Milk. That's what my daughter had.
I want chocolate milk.
I think they sell smoothies. Every time I go to a coffee shop,
do you always say call them?
Call Abby, man.
Nah.
Hey, you guys smell smoothies?
Ask him for a friend.
Oh man, I guess we gotta bring up the big news.
The big news.
The Pope.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Passing away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's passed. What was it, like 2 days ago?
Easter? Easter? Yeah. Was it Easter Sunday or Monday?
It was Easter.
They say it was on Monday, but I'm pretty sure it was on Easter.
I saw a meme. I don't know if it actually happened or if, like, J.D. Vance visited him or not.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I think, well, he visited the Vatican. I don't know if he met.
Oh, well, it said the Pope died because J.D. Vance visited him. And then in quotations it said, J.D. Vance, the Antichrist.
Sheesh.
Wasn't that a Babylon Bee post, too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Babylon Bee.
Babylon Bee's been laying it on pretty thick this week.
Yeah.
I think this is now the third Pope that we've had in our lifetimes. Whoever they bring in next.
I've only known
that. That is kind of crazy.
No, I think this might be the fourth. I don't remember, like, before 2008. But I know, was it Benedict and then Francis? There was one who I believe was for a short time because he had Alzheimer's. And he was, like, one of the first popes to willingly step down before he died.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. I don't know much about, like, the Catholicism and, yeah, and how it works with the pope.
I think I was in 7th or 8th grade whenever, like, Francis was sworn in, confirmed. I don't know what the proper term is. But do you guys know anything, like, about that? Like, how that works?
Mm-mm, nothing.
So,
I know that the new pope has to be, like, declared 20 days after the death. I think that's what.
I think that, yeah, they got to wait up. And it honestly just takes time. You got to bring in all of the
candidates.
The cardinals, or, like, the arch-cardinals, whatever their technical, like, the.
The guys below.
People who are, like, right below him. All of them, I think, technically are eligible for the papacy, for the office of Pope. And by that point, I think they have to get, like, a 60% vote by, like, they all vote for someone. Mm-hmm. And, like, they can't leave, like, the chambers until there's a majority. And then, obviously, you have the, like, the well-known part where, like, they will pour out, like, a different colored smoke depending on, like, oh, we don't have a pope yet. We do have a pope now and all that stuff. But they came out with that Conclave movie last year. Did you guys hear about that?
No. Mm-hmm.
It's actually really odd, the timing of it, because the movie Conclave's all about the pope dies and now his, like, second in command has to.
Was that an A24 film?
It was A24. I believe so.
I think I remember hearing about it. I don't think I ever watched it.
It was okay.
It was okay.
Never watched it again, but it was entertaining, informative. I don't know how
true
accurate it is, but it was interesting. But gotta say, I'm glad that, like, I don't have a chain of command like that to report to. I only report to my boss and then God himself.
Amen.
Amen.
I report to you and then to your boss.
You hardly report to me.
I don't even
report. Hey, I'm not going to be there. Hey, I'm
hey, I'm late. Hey, I stopped at Casey's for breakfast pizza.
It was.
Imagine telling the Pope. Like, imagine if you were his second in command and you just had to tell him, like, hey, I stopped for breakfast pizza at Casey's. I'm going to be late to Mass.
Got homework.
Yeah, I got homework. Guys, I can't. I got to go to the library with Abby. Hey, I watched that back. You did say library. You did not say library the first time.
Library.
Yeah, I mean,
or biblioteca.
February. Do you want to talk about that request that I got today earlier?
Well, oh yes, remind me.
I just did.
Let's talk about it next week.
What was the request?
For listeners. So I got a request today for listeners. So
don't fidget with your mic while you talk.
I got it.
You did it. Stuck his tongue out.
Just be a good little fidgeter and pick at your fingers.
I got a request today. I don't think you two know about this yet.
Mm-mm. What?
From a listener that said we should, every podcast, we should take a couple questions or one question, whatever we decide to do, from a listener and answer the question, whatever that might
be. It's not a bad idea.
I think it's a good idea.
I think it's interesting. I think it's good interaction.
Yeah.
I agree. Shout out to that listener. I did have that idea first. I just want to. That was my idea.
Blake, over that.
We don't care about you. We enjoy. The difference is we enjoy listener feedback.
Yeah, and another difference is
you don't even listen.
That listener probably.
I haven't listened to last episode yet.
That listener probably has put more effort into this podcast than you have.
Honestly.
Blake Warm.
They make comments. They've talked to Devin and I about, like, funny parts of it, like, very complimentary of the podcast.
Ooh.
We'll tell you later. sure they wish to remain anonymous.
Unless they didn't, then they'd let us know.
Yeah, but...
So if you got a question,
yeah,
just ask on YouTube, Spotify, wherever you listen.
Facebook, Instagram.
Yep. I have podcasts. Lots of opinions if you want to know my opinions on everything.
Here's one that I was asked tonight. And this is actually really fitting because, and we'll end on this.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. I'm bedtime.
I haven't had...
My eyes will be fogging.
I haven't had food since breakfast. Don't. I know you're smirking.
Just do it.
Like, how am I not supposed to? He's laying them all out there, man. I did that
intentionally just for the mess of them.
It's going to give me a freaking stomach ulcer from cramping.
So, the question I got, and I really wish I had it memorized. It's on my phone. Unfortunately, it's recording this.
Mm. The question. You want me to get it for you? It's right there.
Yeah.
It's going to be Christian's face. What is this thing?
The question was something along the lines of, how do I... And this is open for all of us, because it's not like a super deep theological question.
Good.
I was nervous.
That's a relief.
The question was, how do I find ways to share the gospel with people whenever most of the people I surround myself with go to my church, are believers at another church, et cetera, et cetera? How do I make ways to share the gospel with other people when most of the people I surround myself with are believers?
Very easy question to answer.
I think it's a great question to answer.
It's a great question to answer.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know a lot of people struggle with that because you get comfortable in your group and everybody knows everyone to the T. So
yeah, and I think to preface, mm-hmm. I think it's a good call to be the person who asked me this was a high school student.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think first of all, it's great.
It's great that she's
great to be surrounding yourself with other mm-hmm. believers, especially mm-hmm. at that age.
I think the best thing to do in that situation is if us four hanging out, I'm going to use this as an example because we're all believers, and we hang out every single day and we're struggling on figuring out how to, share or whatever. You could easily just go and bring new people in at your school. Like anyone, doesn't matter who it is. There's four of you. So I'm sure you can find at least four other strangers that you haven't talked to or whoever it may be in school and talk mm-hmm. to them about it. And if they want to start coming to church with you, your group just gets bigger, 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 and bigger. And eventually you just...
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, like in a practical sense, if us four were to go play pickleball down in Monette, there's going to be other people there. Yeah, just be nice. Put on a smile and say, hey, how are you guys doing? Who's winning? And just strike up a conversation, invite them to church. I think it's just the fear of man factor that really gets a lot of people. That's what got me for...
You want to explain that for someone who might not know?
So, there's this concept of fearing God because God is ultimately, sovereign and in control and having a healthy awe and respect for him, right? And so in light of our love for God, we should be motivated, committed to obey his commandment of sharing the gospel. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission is just evangelism. That applies to all believers, not just missionaries. But fear of man is just... We get so caught up in the day-to-day interactions, we worry more about what other people think about us. Like, if I share the gospel with this person, they're going to think I'm a Jesus freak. They're going to think I'm annoying. They're going to, stop interacting with me the way they do or whatever. So it's just this fear of man, fear of what people are going to think about you, how they're going to perceive you the moment you talk about Christ or even share the gospel. And, it happens. It's just part of being in the flesh. But we have to overcome that fear. Because like I said, Matthew 28, Great Commission, it's evangelism. That's applicable to all believers. But it just takes, there's practical things you can do. You're going to get out of your comfort zone. God's not calling us to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. But that's the gist of it. You can add on to it. You,
especially you're
the master.
Especially since a lot of high schoolers work Walmart or, something like that. A lot of the people that they work with are graduated, older, my coworkers are 30 plus. I'm 21. Mm. So it's very difficult to try and talk to someone who's much older than you about that because it's scary,
Yeah.
It's hard to talk to anyone older than you,
And I can agree with that cuz
you just have that click.
Everybody I work with is older than me.
Yeah.
And it just seems scary to try to, interact with them.
Us being so young, we were raised differently. We grew up in a different generation. Mm. What I think is funny, cool, and awesome, some of it you do, but you may not. Yeah, you may not.
I thought
think
I'd feel
cool
old
awesome.
Being a millennial.
Yeah,
I know.
I do.
My generation sucks. put it up there.
Anyways.
Just had to slide that one in.
I had to.
You could not put that one in
there's
there.
There's actually a lot of research out there about how, like, Gen Z is the generation that's returning to church.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that.
A lot of Gen Z is really into the idea of, you know, traditional masculinity, traditional femininity.
Whoa.
And I think it's
femininity.
That deep.
Yeah. You know, and the idea of, you know, not like biblical ethics, morals. And I find it they're coming to church at far greater rates at their age than like previous generations were.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I've heard I feel like all my professors quote that all the time, like an example in their lectures or whatever. I've heard that a lot. Even like pastors use that example. It's like,
yeah,
there's like this stigma that Gen Z is like the worst generation. But in reality, like people are turning to Christ.
Yeah. You
know? I think Gen Z is the worst generation because you get on that algorithm on your phone, on your TikTok, Facebook reels, you know, Instagram reels. And it's always like Gen Zers are the worst and all that. And you'll see like, I'm not going to say a bad Gen Zer, but a Gen Zer that is not a believer on your phone that, you know, is doing all the weird stuff. And then that's all people want to see. That's all people are interested in because it's different. And so that's all they put their mind and time into. And then after a while, that's what's everyone's feed.
So there's like this false perception.
Right. Yeah.
I will say, as a millennial who grew up in the like MySpace and then the transition over to Facebook.
Yeah.
Millennials got it way worse than Gen Z at like, and at their age, Millennials got it way worse.
Fine.
Than Gen Z.
Elaborate. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just want to see what you mean.
For instance, you know, like I see people that are, you know, 50 plus sharing things that are something along the lines of, you know, millennials, like, oh, these darn 18-year-old millennial softies. Yeah. And it's like, the 18-year-olds weren't even born. Yeah. Before the turn of the millennia, like millennial has just become synonymous with
like
weak or baby or soft or nation of squibs, all that.
And soft hands, boy.
But millennials, like there are thousands of headlines of like, oh, millennials have ruined the fabric softener industry. Millennials have ruined the sit down restaurant industry.
I don't like fabric softener. It ruins your washer.
Right. But as someone who has witnessed the hate toward millennials shift to the hate towards Gen Z,
it's diluted.
Millennials
for sure.
Had it.
It still way sucks though.
Oh no, I'm not saying Gen Z.
It's still. I mean, I know like whenever we're 50 or 60 or whatever, and we look at the new generation. What is it? Alpha? No, that it would be one.
That's
more.
Like our kids.
Yeah,
I'm scared.
So it would be like. We would say the same thing. You guys are soft.
Yeah.
You guys, you know, but it's, I mean, that's just how life goes. Just but like.
I'm honestly scared for my nieces and any other people, like any other new kids, like your kid. Sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Boom. Anyways, I'm scared for your kid. I'm scared for your kids just because of everything.
I think
like,
it also helps on how they're raised. Personally. Like you can't,
But
really,
public schools is what I'm talking about. Like they're teaching kids different things
school,
now.
Private school. It gets expensive. You can't help how the economy does.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, it does what it wants to do. So yeah, in that sense, I am worried for my daughter. Yeah. But in the sense of, is she going to be raised correct? Yes. Is she going to be raised around believers? Yes. Is she going to be raised in a church? Yes. Mm-hmm. So what do I have to worry about?
Yeah.
And God's in control too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the point that trumps it all was I used to have that mindset of, you know, what kind of world are my kids going to grow up in? And then I read something and it really shifted the way I thought. And it was something along the lines of, it's no accident that your kids are being born when they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's no accident that they're going to be grow up in the society that they are.
Yeah.
You know, God has put them in that society and God has created that society at that time for a purpose.
You never know.
I think of like, just to throw out like examples, in the 1500s, you know, God raised up Martin Luther to
reform
he wanted to try to fix all the errors, and the Reformation ended up happening. But, you know, it's no accident that Martin Luther became or grew up in that time. It's no coincidence that Billy Graham grew up in his time.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what society needed. He was in the right place at the right time because God did that. It's no...
God used him because he was being obedient.
Yeah, right. Your kid could be the change and you have no idea.
Right, because God is making them for the society they're going to grow up in. John MacArthur nowadays, they say he's doing a lot better after his surgeries. I'm a huge John MacArthur guy.
Oh, me too. Love him.
I feel like every Bible college guy goes through their sophomore year where their theological positions are just John MacArthur's. Yeah. I went through it.
I like this guy on TikTok named Cliff. I don't believe in everything he says.
Yeah. But is he the one that does interviews?
Yeah, I think what he's doing and some of the things he says is very accurate. And
He's a good apologist.
Yeah, I was going to say, and he's very brave to put himself in a college campus.
Just surrounded by anyone. Yeah. It could be anyone, literally.
Like you said, I don't necessarily...
He proved Michael Jordan was the greatest of all time.
But,
You say Michael Jordan?
Yes.
LeBron James.
You know who's the greatest of all time?
Tiger Woods.
Jesus.
That's a Jesus.
And that wraps up this episode, right?
They got a Jesus juke.
Yes. I never got to answer the question, but that's okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. That's okay, because we're cutting all
How in depth are we going to be?
We're not very. Okay. We're going to cut out all the stock talk.
That's fair, because I did not care.
No, I know. Me neither.
I you can keep this part in. I was about to sleep.
Yeah. I'm a big stock market guy.
We know.
Yeah. To answer the question. So
repeat the question.
To answer the question, like, how do we share the gospel with people whenever the majority of the people we hang out with are believers?
Okay.
And I will give like personal examples. When I was at the Bible college, I lived on campus, I worked on campus, I went to school on campus. Really the only times I would go off campus was to go to church.
Mm.
So living around believers, working around believers, going to class with believers, and then leaving to go fellowship with believers. I never saw, you know, on a normal day, I never saw an unbeliever unless I was like going through the drive-thru.
Mm. You were like in a bubble almost.
I was in a bubble. And I think a lot of Bible colleges, not on purpose, but I think there is the risk of a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really, it's really hard to get out of because obviously you want to share the gospel with others. I will say, because the person that asked me this was a younger person, I feel, and this might be a really strong opinion, I feel like, how do I phrase this? This might get me in some hot water.
Go for it.
And I feel like not many people are going to agree with me. I feel like missionary kids get a lot of unjust pressure to be missionaries themselves.
Oh, I agree.
Whenever mm-hmm. they still need to be discipled.
I mean, I'm not a missionary kid, so I don't know, but I agree with
what you're saying.
And I think you could extrapolate that and say any young, like an age kid. Believer
oh, yeah.
needs, especially ministry kids, you know, the young kids are not necessarily or should not necessarily be the disciplers. They still need to mm-hmm. be
They still disciples. Need structure and growth, yeah.
Right. I think it's not... Of course, I'm not saying that young kids shouldn't talk about Jesus with other young kids, but I think it puts an undue burden on them to expect them to be an evangelist or a discipler.
And when you put that pressure on somebody like to like know all the right answers, to know how to say all the right things, I mean, they're not changing from the heart level, they're just becoming legalists.
They're just reciting words.
Yeah.
So I would say, like, use the bubble, use the insulation that you have from the outside world to strengthen your faith, to help think through, like, what is the gospel? How do I give my elevator pitch of the gospel, you know, God, man, Christ response.
Yep.
Holy God, we're sinful people. Christ came to fix our sin that we couldn't. And our response is to turn in faith and repentance. Use that time to grow in your own faith before you try to, you know, you gotta make sure when a plane decompresses, you gotta make sure you have your mask on first before you can help other people put their masks on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You gotta make sure you're strong enough in your faith before you try to share with others.
I almost like the argument of, and this could just be personal opinion, you know, people think what they want and feel comfortable with what they want. I didn't touch it. I think it's easier. It's hard regardless. It really is. But I think it's easier that, like, I would feel more comfortable going to talk to an unbeliever with Blake, with you, with Jeff.
Oh.
So I think having a group of one extra person, two extra people, it doesn't matter the size, but I think it makes it a whole lot easier because you have someone with you backing you up.
See, I'm the opposite. I think I fear what other believers are going to think of me. Like, just personally, me being transparent, I would much rather be on my own talking. Like, when I'm with my coworkers at FedEx, I would much rather just be on that tower with me and whoever and just sharing the gospel than having, like, a group. And, you know, I get caught up in trying to say the right thing
or
trying to act a certain way instead of just having a real genuine conversation with a person and hoping that it transitions to a gospel conversation.
Yeah.
Like Dr. Dunning says, like, you can't have a gospel conversation unless you first have a conversation. Like, you don't have to, like, expect to win that person over the first time you talk to them, but, like, looking for opportunities to pivot that conversation to the gospel and planting a seed and letting the Holy Spirit work in their hearts.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing.
Because you see two different methods of sharing the gospel in the book of Acts specifically. Mm-hmm. You see the, you know, like the sidewalk preaching Paul does, where he goes into, you know, the market or the temple, and he goes,
"You guys are
worshiping the wrong God.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, you killed Jesus. You know, it was your sin. All that. You got to repent. You got to turn." And then you also see examples of fostering relationships, fostering connections, and then using that to. Instead of, you know, slingshotting a seed into the ground, you carefully dig a hole and plot it in and fill it up and all that. So I guess to answer the question, you know, what is your goal? Are you trying to bring in an unbeliever into your group, or are you just trying to share the gospel with someone? Because if you're trying to bring an unbeliever in, you know, there is strength in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You become who you hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
If you think that, you know I'm certainly not strong enough to have me and an unbeliever hanging out and me not end up reflecting the unbeliever a little bit in my talk and my thoughts and my actions, all that stuff. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the path of the scornful, nor sits in the way of the scoffer, or sit in the seat of the wicked, all that. But blessed is he, you know, all that stuff. You become who you hang out with.
Yeah.
So the strength in numbers. If you're hanging out with an unbeliever, you got to have a few more believers there just to really cement the. You know, who's going to imitate who? And then use that. Go out of your way. Bring someone into your friend group. I think it really depends on what your goal is. If it's to share the gospel with someone, like cold call style, or if you want to try to foster the relationship and the friendships, and then use that as a, you know, a takeoff point for the gospel.
Right. Yeah.
I'm about to have a heat stroke in here.
Is it that hot?
It's hot.
Pretty hot.
I'm cold, actually.
Pretty tired.
Really?
And tired.
It's like, 11:30?
Yeah.
I need to go to bed.
Is it really?
No.
It better not be 11:30.
Because it's getting so hot, I think Blake's about to start taking
better off his clothes. Better text my RA. No, I'm kidding.
But.
No, that's good.
Yeah. And for you listeners at home, if you have any questions, it doesn't even have to be super in depth like that. If you want to know what our favorite movie is, or
could be about,
like, a funny, like, what's the craziest thing that's happened to you on the mission field, or you know, what's a funny youth group story that we have that we'd like to share, or anything like that. It could be any question in the world, and we'd love to answer it so long as it's appropriate, obviously.
And also put whether or not you want your name to be said. I know some people like to be accounted for on their questions, you know.
Yeah, and you can always, if you want it to be, like, sent directly to us and have a much better shot of us seeing it, reading it, responding to it, you can email us at jesusjukedpod@aurorabt.com.
No way, we have an email now?
We got a cool email.
Oh my gosh, we're official, guys.
That was jesusjukedpod.
Might want to spell it.
It'll be right here. Christian edited.
Oh my God.
You're welcome.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hang on, there we go. Right above
it'll be
hand.
Real big. Right there.
Comic Sans font.
There we go, Christian.
jesusjukedpod@aurorabt as in Bravo Tango .com. But I think that will do it.
gmail.com, I thought, right?
No, it's aurorabt.com.
Yeah. I thought it was an email.
It is an email that is hosted on our
website.
church's
website.
Yeah.
But I think that will do it for us for our second Sleepy Time episode.
Sleepy Time episodes are good.
Nice to be on.
Sleepy Time episodes. Yeah. We set out to do a really short 30-minute podcast. And
it's an hour and 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't like it. I'm sorry.
Just so tired.
I'm sorry.
All right, Jeff Warm.
Oh, okay.
But Blake, hit us with the outro. Tell him what to do, where to go.
5 stars.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
Where can they find us?
Spotify. You can find us here Spotify. In this room.
Spotify.
Spotify, YouTube.
Spotify, YouTube. Apple Jeff, podcast. What is my part?
Apple Podcast.
Jeff.
Helping you out.
Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcast. YouTube again. That's it.
Facebook.
Instagram.
Amazon.
Yeah. Amazon podcast.
They have a podcast thing?
Yeah.
Amazon podcast.
There's like 2 people that listen on an Amazon podcast. But no way. We love you, listeners. Spread the word. Spread the good news of Jesus.
Like, share, subscribe. Like, share, and subscribe.
Hit the bell.
No, please keep telling others about it. I love watching the stats grow every week about how many people are listening. Do you like the reels or the shorts? If so, let us know.
Shorts.
Well, you're wearing shorts. We got some shorts out.
Oh, I got powder on.
What about me killing a deer?
Yeah. The one about him killing a deer did pretty well.
Did it really?
On what? The Monkey Mountain story, my story, actually.
Which one did better?
Oh, yours by a long shot.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, I walk so you could run.
But
you should.
You do walk.
The snake bite story did much better.
You should do a TikTok.
I don't know how to do TikToks, man.
Just learn like you learn everything else.
Anyways, we love you. Fellas, you got anything positive to say before
ready
we go?
Keep
spreading the gospel. Positive that I am exhausted. I'll see you guys later.
What else are you positive for?
Smile more.
Nah, that's crazy.
I'm positive Blake will be through a drive-thru at some point this weekend.
Yep.
No more bad jokes. I've held it.
And we'll see you next time on the Jesus Juke Pod. Bye.
Bye.